Είστε παρέα με το SBS Ελληνικά. Βρείτε περισσότερες ενδιαφέρουσες ιστορίες στο sbs.com.au/greek.
SBS Radio Greek Language Program. Θέμη, καλώς with you, dear listeners, presenting the following segment. The Chief Scientist of the Republic of Cyprus for Research, Innovation and Technology and Chair of the National Committee on Artificial Intelligence, Dr. Dimitris Skouridis, is currently in Australia. During his stay, he has been meeting with counterparts, universities and other stakeholders. He has already visited Canberra, and today we find him in Melbourne. Dr. Skouridis, firstly, we welcome you on our program and thank you for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
What brings you to Australia, and what are the main goals of your visit?
Australia is one of the most advanced technological nations and also research nations, particularly in certain domains such as health tech, med tech, ed tech, rec tech, environment tech. And I'm here exploring potential, let's say, research partnerships between research organizations and institutions in Cyprus and corresponding, offices in Australia. At the same time, this is an opportunity for us to discuss and also explore with the Australian government some of the best practices that exist, for example, in emergency response and fire response. In areas where basically Australia has a traditional strength in terms of both innovation and technology that we could actually learn from as best practices and solve some of the challenges that we have ahead. So at the same time, this also presents an opportunity where we can also showcase the strengths of Cyprus, of the research and innovation ecosystem, and how that can act as an enabler and a scaler for corresponding institutions, SMEs, innovators here in Australia who want to access the European market.
Who have you met so far and what are your key takeaways from those meetings?
Well, besides the chief scientist and his office and also a few members of the government, we've met with the University of Melbourne, we've met with the Monash University, we've actually also met with a few startups and tech innovation companies here. The outcomes are very positive. We do see, I think, the necessary conditions or the complementary areas where both countries and specifically research organizations can actually cooperate together. What remains right now is for us to explore further what are the frameworks and I think the necessary conditions that we need to actually put in place so that we can enable this cooperation to happen.
I'm sure you will agree with me that artificial intelligence is at the heart of the current global debate. How is Cyprus approaching both the development and the regulation of artificial intelligence?
Thank you. I think this is a very debatable question right now. So artificial intelligence is indeed, I think, a major opportunity for us, not just Cyprus. I think it's here for humanity. There are many questions as to how to regulate it and how to enable it. In the European Union, we do have a framework we call it the EU AI Act. Cyprus is actually obliged to implement the EU AI Act. Within our ecosystem in Cyprus, the Council of Ministers have actually created a task force for AI and technologies. I happen to have the honor to chair the task force. What we are busy right now is basically looking at the conditions that are required from a policy regulation perspective at the national level to address the opportunities. We have formed and created working groups that are looking at AI in workplace, AI in the actual use cases within public sector and the industry, AI in research, basically infrastructure required, and at the same time, the legal opportunities or let's say the changes that we need to look at as to regulate, for example, and build necessary boundaries and frameworks for AI enabled technologies, autonomous solutions to operate in. In doing so, we basically work with other partners and other nations where we do have strategic MOUs in actually advancing AI, and this creates opportunities. We participate in forums, and a lot of discussions. And I think what we have done is already a first step to really start paving the way for AI for humanity. And I think making sure that we approach the adoption of AI with human-centric values at the center. What this essentially means in simple language is that working on really developing AI to support humanity, to support humans, and basically, you know, become a value enabler.
Are there any specific fields where Cyprus has a comparative advantage in research and innovation?
Cyprus is traditionally very strong in areas of maritime, in specific areas of healthcare, in specific areas where, you know, I would call it, you know, cancer research. Research, for example, on around, you know, neurology. We do have some very, very strong startups that are, you know, I think growing in that area. We do have research organizations that have, you know, strengths in, when it comes to critical infrastructure using artificial intelligence, and also an emerging space cluster. This is one part of it. These are, I would call, the traditional skills coming in from research. However, Cyprus also has a very attractive value proposition. We do have 120% discount on R&D expenses. The IP box for Cyprus is about 2.5%. Investment into companies from angel investors is actually discounted down to 50%. Hence, this creates a very attractive value proposition, particularly for those companies outside Europe who want to access Europe, which is actually currently valued at a $19 trillion economy. So this is a comparative advantage for Cyprus, given that Cyprus basically is a country that is very attractive to act as a testbed, a country where, you know, a company or a startup can actually bring their value proposition, establish an office, and test the value proposition within the EU ecosystem, which I think is the comparative advantage.
We spoke about the advantage. Can I ask now, what are the biggest challenges you currently face in advancing research and innovation in Cyprus?
I'll refer to two challenges in specific areas, the research infrastructure. So as we echoed before, Cyprus is not a forerunner in all of the areas. So there are some areas where there are development opportunities, and there is still that infrastructure that may not be there. These infrastructures we actually try to, let's say, cover by using shared infrastructures across Europe with specific programs. This is one of the challenges. The other challenge is that in some areas we don't have, at this point of time, all of our research capacity or the required research capacity. Hence, why we have attractive programs like, you know, Digital Skills or Minds in Cyprus that are there and, you know, have incentives to bring back, I think, some of the scientists we have from the diaspora, and also our startup visas and the digital nomad visas that basically ease the actual requirements for scientists and researchers from other countries to come to Cyprus. So I would say that uniformly, the challenge is that we don't have the available capacity of researchers, and we are doing the work to really you know, make it easier for researchers to join us. We have a very attractive ecosystem. And at the same time, the infrastructure, which we are building with strategic partners.
You mentioned the diaspora. Can I ask you how the whole Greek diaspora, in Australia in our case, contribute to strengthening scientific cooperation?
The whole Greek diaspora has a major strength when it comes to research and innovation. What my message is that, ladies and gentlemen, fellow Greeks, fellow Greek Cypriots, Cyprus is a gateway into Europe, and it's an opportunity to help you create a home away from home that can really amplify and help your great work, your great inventions, your great scientific work, and your companies scale into the European ecosystem and the European market. Europe is an addressable market of $19 trillion. And for those of you who wish to actually scale your companies and work with other world-class research institutes, Cyprus is a good gateway into Europe. And feel free to reach out and you know, tap these opportunities. I think that this opportunity is really an opportunity that we can facilitate by connecting the right innovative companies, the right SMEs between the two nations, the right, for example, research institutes. This is something that can happen.
SBS Radio Greek Language Program. We are talking today with Cyprus's Chief Scientist, Dr. Dimitri Skouridis. Dr. Skouridis, in the era of climate change, what possible role can the scientific communities of Cyprus and Australia play in joint initiatives?
Thank you very much. Climate change is at the core of our hearts. I think that both nations are basically surrounded by water, and we do have traditional strengths. Cyprus has a history in maritime and marine environments. Australia has the same. Australia is much more advanced when it comes to waste management, and I think energy tech and environment tech. The cooperation here is creating complementary values, value streams upstream and downstream, where this technology can harness and really solve a variety of solutions that can really help the economy. I think that what we need to do is to really sit down and see how these, you know, solutions and complementary, let's say, areas can actually accelerate and help us future-proof against the challenges that we have. For example, just met right now a very innovative company that really deals with, you know, wastewater and really neutralizing the waste, something that we don't have in Cyprus. I think getting these scientists talk to our scientists and see how we can really help transform the shortage of water into an opportunity, something that is an imminent priority for us. Remember, we live in a world where AI is around the corner. Every data center on average would require a minimum of 1.4 million gallons of water for cooling. Now imagine that Southeastern Europe and Cyprus altogether have about 487 data centers. That amounts to about 15 million people having water or not having water because we're using it for the data centers. Being able to really use wastewater and other types of water to really cool down data centers could be an opportunity. And I think this is a priority that, you know, I'd really love to start working with our counterparts here and our scientists to really solve.
Lastly, if you could choose one field where Cyprus and Australia can cooperate and would bring immediate and tangible results, which field would it be?
Well, it's hard to pinpoint just one, but I will say the following. Artificial intelligence is something that is really transforming every industry. So I would say that health tech powered by AI is something that would be, I think, a core industry that would really be the shortest, let's say, or lower hanging fruit for us. During my meetings this week, I was, you know, very excited to see the work being done on the artificial heart here in Melbourne, and the work that has been done by several of the research organizations, by both Monash and also University of Melbourne, working with their technology transfer offices. I think these are the specific industries that could really be the door opener with the lowest hanging fruit that we can capitalize on between the two nations.
Dr. Skouridi, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
Κάντε like, μοιραστείτε, σχολιάστε, ακολουθήστε μας στο Facebook, στο SBS Greek.